This podcast is brought to you by DeMarini. Are you ready to join the uprising? More than 150 programs around the nation have, including back-to-back Division I and II national champions, Oregon State and Tampa, and Division III national champion Keene. Log on to DeMarini.com/DNation and check out the Voodoo Minus 3 to see why the SC3 alloy is the most powerful and durable performance alloy on the market. It gives you the pop you need to get along because chicks don't dig the ground ball. The uprising, coming to a ballpark near you. Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel here with the College Edition, recorded on March 10th, 2008. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll have the college chat later today. We've got our top 25 already updated, top 25 trackers already updated, three strikes to come. You know where you want to go for college baseball information. That's baseballamerica.com. And Aaron, this is another volatile week. We got to go to a college baseball game together this weekend, actually, out in Greenville, North Cackalack. I'm the fool who didn't wear a jacket. It was beyond blustery. It was really cold this weekend in Greenville, and I was freezing. I believe the way I would say it in Yiddish is that I was freezing my tuchus off, to quote Alan Alda. Little Hawkeye Pierce reference there for all the young kids out there who don't even know what MASH is. But it was cold, and we saw two good, solid, I think, regional teams in East Carolina and Michigan. You were at another game on Saturday earlier in the day. That's the reason I even bring it up. That's the depth of Baseball America passion. Aaron Fitt starts off Saturday in Raleigh at Virginia at NC State. Great pitching matchup, Jacob Thompson and Eric Surkamp. Then you drive out an hour and a half east for part of an East Carolina-Michigan game before, of course, my true passion, heading back home to make sure so I can listen to the North Carolina-Duke game and catch the end of it. In hoops. But it's a great college baseball weekend, a volatile weekend, but a good weekend around here that we got to take in some. So that's how we roll at Baseball America. We're going to drive all over the ends of the earth if we can to go see college baseball, Aaron.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, John, we saw I came away from that Michigan-East Carolina game thinking, like you said, definitely two regional caliber teams. And I know that we were probably higher on both of those teams in the preseason than some other people were.
Than the average bear.
I still think Michigan will be there at the end of the year. And you know, they're struggling right now. They are a cold weather team. And everything's been a little bit off because they didn't have Zach Putnam really at 100% the first couple of weeks. And that kind of threw off the rest of their pitching.
He sets the tone for their whole team. He's their best player. He's their four-hole hitter and their number one starter. If he's not right, they're not right.
He's a heck of a player, too.
How about a 4-0 time to first from the right side for Zach Putnam this weekend, according to one scout? The guy's just really good. I mean, he's not a publication fabrication. I don't care what the scouts in the Midwest say. The guy's got a varied repertoire. He's got a solid average fastball, if not better, plus split, and he's athletic. Yeah. I think it plays.
And he's got legit power with the bat, too. And we saw him hit a ball the other way that I think would have been out on a less gusty day.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, Michigan, I think offensively they struck me as a team. They'll be there, I think. At the end of the year, they need Mike Wilson to come around, the left-hander, in the rotation. But you know what? Right now they're struggling, and they almost got knocked out of the top 25, John. They're down to number 25. We left them kind of on notice, along with a couple of other 500 teams that had a lot of expectations coming into the year. Oregon State and San Diego, also in that kind of discussion. San Diego maybe a little bit more solid than those other two. But the Beavers losing a...
Three 500 teams right now, and 500 teams... We're 3 weeks in. It's still early. But after this week, I think you're not going to see any more 500 teams in the Baseball America Top 25. Those are three teams that are right now kind of getting by on the reputation of their talent. Whether their talent really plays out or not is yet to be seen. The best thing you can say for all three of those teams is it's just March.
Right.
And you expect those three teams to play better as the season goes on. Oregon State has proven it can do that track record-wise. The other two have not. To me, Oregon State gets a little more rope. Because of that.
I think Michigan has to some degree. I mean, typically, you know,
they did win a regional last year.
Cold weather team, they're typically going to start slow.
Correct.
Playing warm weather locations. And like you said, they won a regional last year. I just think they're going to be there at the end of the year.
I think so, too. And I'd rather, if I were a player or a coach on any of those three ball clubs, I would rather get my slump out of the way early than have it late, as USD had last year.
Yeah.
But let's face it, all three of those teams have got to play better to stay in the rankings, just from a top 25 standpoint. And I think all three of them need to be play better, too, to get into the postseason here. But I believe all three will.
And here's the other thing, John, is that I know someone's going to look at this, maybe who hasn't been following our rankings as closely, and say, well, what are these three 500 teams doing ranked when you've got a line of qualified teams, I think, outside the top 25, like Pepperdine and
it's a long line.
Texas A&M and Coastal Carolina and Georgia Tech and NC State. I think Charlotte is in this mix. I think Central Florida, Arkansas, East Carolina. I mean, Old Dominion is even has rebounded a little bit here. I mean, there's a lot of good teams outside the top 25. LSU is another one. I mean,
Central Florida.
I think Oklahoma. For me, Pepperdine once again is the one team I really wanted to rank. And for the third straight week, they were basically team number 26 here.
They're right on the cusp every weekend.
I think they'll be in very soon. I like that team. I like their talent. But you know, we started these other teams out high in the rankings, and we're dropping them. We're dropping them until they can prove that they win. Right now, they're on notice. But the Ways will have to wait another week.
Yeah, that's the way it looks this week at the Baseball America Top 25. You're listening to the podcast. And one thing that has been borne out from what we predicted in the preseason, Aaron, is the Pac-10 strength and the West strength.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit. We've got 1-2 Pac-10 at the top, Arizona and Arizona State. We've got another Pac-10 team at 11 in UCLA, another team that's 7-4. They're the worst 7-4 team in the country right now that I can see. It's a team that's hitting sub-700 OPS with metal bats. It's .236, .352 on base, .346 slugging right now. UCLA has one guy who's hitting in Aiden Carruthers. The rest of their team not hitting. Ryan Babineau's bat's hot, but he hasn't played very much yet because of some nagging injuries. But it's not just Brandon Crawford. It's not just Jermaine Curtis. It's the whole team. I checked their stats. No one on that team other than Carruthers and Babineau is hitting over .250.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal, and they've got to hit. They will hit. They will be better.
Will.
But right now, UCLA is just not a good team, and that's why we hit them at 8 spots this week.
And like you said, John, I mean, Alden Carruthers has really been their best hitter, and nobody else is really even in the discussion. They're all been very disappointing. But and you know, on the mound as well, we talked about UCLA's pitching, but it's really the Tim Murphy show right now. I mean, they've gotten a couple other good performances, but
right. He's
been the guy who's really kind of excelled.
Oh, he's carrying them.
Yeah.
He's completely carrying them. They have 7 wins. 2 of them are complete games. Shutouts are shutouts anyway, started by Tim Murphy. So, but at 12 is the big surprise of the year to me, the Cal Bears. California has long been a program with some talent, but that hasn't delivered on the field. And this year, Cal's doing it without their ace, Tyson Ross, and that's what's so impressive to me. They're doing it not necessarily at home. They're doing it against good teams. They're beating good teams. They're beating them with hitting. They're beating them with pitching. They beat Stanford, which Stanford goes and has a great week, a big weekend series at Texas. If they win, so Stanford jumps into the rankings at 18. Keep on the West Coast tip, Irvine at 13, Cal State Fullerton at 20. The West Coast, we talked about it. The West was going to be good this year. Long Beach State, I haven't even mentioned. Probably the best team that's on the West Coast, Arizona and Arizona State, clearly are West teams. That kind of West Coast teams are both in the Pac-10. But those two teams have separated themselves for me.
Yeah.
Arizona showed why we have Arizona number one and not Arizona State. 3 games this weekend, 3 shutouts, South Alabama, Corpus Christi, and Notre Dame. That's extremely impressive. Their pitching is better than Arizona State's pitching.
By a lot.
Arizona State's offense, though, Aaron, is redonkulous. And just
but as good as it is, John,
is it
that much better than Arizona's offense? I don't think it is.
I mean, I think it is pretty much better, but Arizona's crushing the ball right now.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona State probably has, right now at least, the most dangerous offense in the country. I think Arizona might have a deeper lineup, frankly.
It's a very, very good lineup.
And they've got guys in the middle of the order like C.J. Ziegler, who's just killing the ball, and
he's a great college hitter.
Fawn has really, really blossomed over the last couple of weeks.
Good point.
Dylan Baird can really hit. I mean, these guys have a lot of weapons, too.
Yeah, those two teams have really separated themselves. It's really just, it's impressive. They're playing, they're the two teams that have the most talent that are playing to that level. I mean, you could have made the case they had the most talent coming into the year, period. And now we'll see if Arizona State can keep it up as their schedule really toughens up and tightens up in terms of games they play. They played 5 this week, this past week, but now coming up, 2 against Arkansas and 2 against Troy.
Really neat stretch.
It's a great stretch, and it's the best test Arizona State's had. And
their first weekend was a pretty good test.
Right. And no, those are the best team. This is the best stretch, though. 10 games in 14 days. That's the biggest test they're going to have of their pitching staff, and they're playing good teams this week with Arkansas and Troy.
John, that's a great point you make, too, because they didn't start Mike Leake this weekend on the mound because they had to use him in a midweek game. So already they're bringing guys back a little bit on short rest, and I think You know, I'm very curious to see how they handle this stretch, like you said, with all these games.
It's not just the
pitching depth is the question.
It will be a difficult stretch, Aaron. Obviously, Arizona State, like I said, they're going to be tested this week. It's not just the quality of opponent. It's the number of opponents, and we're going to see that with every team in the country right now. Everyone's going to be playing 4 and 5 games a week now, and it's going to have a cumulative effect, as it always does on pitching, and that's, you know, what we're going to really have to watch for as the season goes on. Let's talk about a little bit more action that happened last week on the Baseball America podcast here. He's Aaron. I'm John. Aaron, Stanford. We touched on Stanford. Pretty impressive weekend. You called it the series of the weekend, and Stanford goes to Austin and beats Texas. And I guess what's the bigger story? That Stanford is back, and they can go on the road and beat a top 25 team like Texas, which they really haven't been able to do the last couple of years. Barely a regional team in 06, not a regional team in 07. Or is it the bigger story that Texas has had back-to-back weekends where they have not, where they've gone 1-2 on the weekend? Which is the bigger deal to you?
No, to me it's Stanford. I mean, I think Texas is doing kind of what you and I expected they would do to come into the year. They've got young pitching that they're still trying to break in. They've got a lot of newcomers.
Right.
I think Texas will be better at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. But Stanford, I think, made a statement this weekend. Again, I mean, really, they swept Cal State Fullerton last weekend. They'd beaten Nebraska the week before that. But to go to Austin and take 2 out of 3 from Texas, you know, and that is a talented Texas team. I mean, maybe they've got some question marks, but especially offensively, that's a very good club. You know, Stanford is back. You know, I think that they're going into the year. We had Stanford and Cal kind of as two teams we talked about for the preseason top 25. They both clearly had talent. It was just such a deep conference. You know, and Southern Cal is kind of in that mix as well. We liked all three of those clubs. We talked about all three as potential top 25 teams, and right now we're seeing, I think, that they all are.
We had seven Pac-10 teams in consideration for our top 25.
There's only nine, remember, in that league that played baseball, right?
The only ones we didn't consider were Washington State and Washington. And right now we've ranked six of those teams at one time or another. In Southern California, the seventh team is 9-4. All their losses are pretty good ball clubs like UCLA or Pepperdine. And they have two weekend sweeps against East Coast opponents. The thing is, both Florida International and Winthrop are down, but it's still impressive that a team from the West Coast comes to the East, sweeps Florida International to start the year, and then this past weekend goes to Winthrop and sweeps Winthrop, always a competitive program. So two very impressive weekends and an impressive start to the year for Southern California. So the Pac-10 is looking really, really strong. And right now the disappointments are Oregon State and UCLA right now, and those, I think, are both teams that we believe are talented, deep, well-coached, and will bounce back. So the Pac-10 is ridiculously stacked. Let's talk a little bit about the SEC, Aaron, while we're on our conferences, because the Southeastern Conference is beginning conference play this coming weekend. We've had some conference play. The ACC had some conference play this weekend. We've already touched a little bit on that Virginia NC State series. We'll talk about that more in Three Strikes, or you will write about it.
Right.
Let's talk about the SEC a little bit. We've got these three top teams in our minds in the SEC. Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina still the top three teams. Ole Miss stumbles this weekend. Vanderbilt's just been kind of eh. South Carolina with a good weekend, but they had a really ugly midweek loss to Charlotte. Which SEC team is playing the best in your mind? And what's the biggest storyline so far in the Southeastern Conference for you?
Well, first of all, the team that's playing the best out of that group, I think, is South Carolina. You know, they've gotten good pitching so far from guys like Cisco and Atwood and Blake Cooper.
Atwood, 11 strikeouts in a four-inning stint this weekend for Will Atwood. Pretty impressive.
So, I mean, right now they've answered, I think, that question, and they answered it against Clemson and East Carolina, two quality opponents the first two weekends. They certainly have played the best out of these three teams. I still think Mississippi is the best team, especially since Vanderbilt has lost Pedro Alvarez for the foreseeable future, and they haven't gotten the kind of pitching they expected to get from Brett Jacobson.
You know, tough loss this weekend for them when you get Mike Minor going into the ninth inning with a shutout and take a 2-1 loss. But the offenses, they haven't clicked on all cylinders yet at Vanderbilt.
They haven't, and yet they're still winning every weekend, two games out of three.
Right.
So, you know, they're still here. But I that's a team that I think I could see dropping some in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens. I mean, they do have South Carolina at home this weekend. Vanderbilt is an experienced team. I really think they could win that series at home. But South Carolina is playing very well right now. That's going to be a tough, tough series.
And you have some interesting developments outside the top 25 in that league. You got Louisiana State playing really well, so a good start for Paul Maneri. We knew that was a younger team, but also a more talented team than they have been in the past. And you're also talking about an Arkansas team that's off to a great start, despite a lot of new players.
But not a great schedule for either of those teams, but they put themselves now back on the radar in the discussion to be ranked by getting off the good starts. Although Stetson's a good series win for LSU.
Absolutely. Team. And then you have, staying in Arkansas, though, and we'll wrap up the show on this note, Arkansas not even the most impressive team in the state of Arkansas this week, Aaron. Well, you tease three strikes a little bit at BaseballAmerica.com. Every Monday, Aaron wraps up the quick take really on the weekend with three strikes. Here are the three biggest storylines out of the weekend. And the state of Arkansas brings us one of them, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas State, really an impressive week. Because first they go on the road in a midweek game against Ole Miss, and they win. And this is not one of those deals where they threw their best guy against the number two team in the country. Actually, I mean, Arkansas State staffed this game. They used four bullpen guys against Ole Miss's number four starter, and they won. And they go this weekend and play the runaway preseason favorite to win the Sun Belt Conference in the conference opener. That's Louisiana Lafayette, and they sweep that series. And Lafayette is struggling right now a little bit, but Arkansas State, I think, has some legit talent. They're going to be a factor in that league. That's something to keep an eye on.
It really is. I mean, it's a huge story to me to see a team like Arkansas State have that kind of week where they play four games against preseason top 25 teams. And win all four. Just very, very impressive. And we want to shine a little light on that team. Just, I think, let people know. I think they already know if they really pay attention. We're just not about the top 25. We're not just about the power conferences. We're all about everybody. So try to cover as much as we can out there in Division One, and we'll keep doing that. Or my name ain't Caleb Gloffenheim.
So. And like you said, John, I don't think your name is Caleb Gloffenheim.
No, but I love to say Caleb Gloffenheim.
But like you said, check out Three Strikes today for more on the Indians of Arkansas State.
And see, who even knew that they were the Arkansas State Indians? I mean, I did, but how many of our podcast listeners really did? So we're going to keep the podcast tight this weekend. This week, we'll be back next week every Monday at BaseballAmerica.com. You can download us at BaseballAmerica.com or subscribe on iTunes. So until next Monday's show, he's Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Thanks so much, and until next week, so long, everybody.